nothing. And nothing.
Good morning. I will open the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for June 23rd, 2017. We have an uncharacteristically short agenda today. I do not expect a future agenda to be this short unless it's the very last one. So I will start by opening up a work session on HB 5031. And who is going to do that in Senator Winter's place?
I will be more than happy to. Colleagues, HB 5031 is the budget bill for the Department of State Police. The state police protect the people, property, and natural resources of Oregon. They provide highway patrol, criminal investigations, fish and wildlife law enforcement, forensic lab services, criminal justice information systems, enforcement of gaming laws, and house the state fire marshal and state medical examiner. The Public Safety Subcommittee approved an all-funds budget of $427.9 million with 1,315 positions and 1,293.62 FTE. The budget both maintains current service level and reduces the need for general fund due to a $26.1 million shift of expense onto the marijuana tax revenues in the Criminal Investigations Division. Marijuana tax revenues also support the purchase of 33 new patrol vehicles and moving the Pendleton Forensic Lab in 1719. $700,000 of grant funds received in April for tracking and inventorying safe kits are also included in this budget. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends House Bill 5031 be amended by the Dash 1 amendment and reported out due pass as amended.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Yes.
I didn't sit in on this because I don't sit on this sub, but it begs the question of the grant request that we're going to hear later on today's agenda. And I'm wondering about operation and maintenance of a $700,000 airplane. I will save that comment until later, but I don't know to what degree the public safety sub discussed air operations and the costs associated with that in the context of this budget. And that's largely a rhetorical question, doesn't need an answer. I have some thoughts on the airplane later in the committee.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Senator Hansel.
I appreciate the mention of the forensic lab for Eastern Oregon. I'd like to know what's in it for the move. Can I get that answer real quick?
Yes. Do we have an analyst here for? Yes, Ms. Burko.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Senator Hansel, I'm sorry I didn't hear what the question was.
I believe that there was mention that there's a part of the allocation set aside for the moving of the forensic lab that's currently located in Pendleton, or a new facility. I was just curious as to what that POP was or how much has been budgeted for that.
Oh, thank you. There's a $1,005,000 set aside for the move cost for the Pendleton lab in the upcoming biennium, and that includes some portion of that is expected to be ongoing so that they're likely to be increased rent in the new facility can be covered ongoing.
Thank you very much.
That's good news.
Yeah. Any additional discussion? Any objections to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close out work session, open work session, SB 314 relating to relief nursery programs. Representative Wisnum.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Honorable committee members, Senate Bill 314 directs the Oregon Department of Education Early Learning Division to support Senator Jackie Winter's relief nursery programs and provide specific examples of qualifying costs for which funding may support. The bill defines a relief nursery program and requires programs to report child participation and progress to a database created and maintained by the Oregon Association of Relief Nurseries. The bill excludes state excess forfeiture proceeds from the calculation of minimum community matching funds required for relief nursery programs. The recommended amendment restores the authority of the Early Learning Division to contract with relief nurseries and removes the requirement that relief nursery programs be certified by the Oregon Association of Relief Nurseries. The amendment also permits the division to adopt rules and take any actions before the operative date of the bill. The bill has a minimum fiscal impact. I had the honor of chairing Deschutes County Commission on Children and Families when we established our relief nursery. During the Education Subcommittee, Senator Roblin did discuss options for leaf nurseries in rural communities and the need to address that. However, the Education Subcommittee does recommend Senate Bill 314 be amended by the A4 amendment and reported out due passes amended.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close out work session, open work session SB 397 relating to sharing of information between social service providers. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 397 requires the Department of Human Services to convene and provide support to a work group to create a standard client confidentiality release form to be used by entities that provide social services to allow for appropriate sharing of confidential information. The bill also directs the Department of Justice to review state laws and identify statutes that can be modified to better facilitate communications among entities that provide social services. DOJ is required to submit any legislative proposals for these modifications to the 2019 Legislative Assembly. In addition, DOJ must develop and maintain a guide setting forth the applicable laws according to discipline, including but not limited to the release of information by child welfare agencies, law enforcement, juvenile justice agencies, schools, mental health treatment providers, health care providers, substance abuse treatment providers, and human services providers. This guide must be available on the DOJ website by December 31, 2018, and must be updated annually. DOJ must also make efforts to notify affected entities of the availability of the guide by January 1, 2019. The Human Services Committee recommends Senate Bill 397 be reported out due pass.
Get them in my pocket.
Discussion of the motion before the committee. Yes, Senator Johnson.
This is a real long shot, but I would hope that perhaps consideration could be given to some kind of a form that legislators could use with constituents and the agency. I think all of us have been asked at one time or another to intervene in a DHS case, and I think there are various kinds of releases of confidentiality, but if our offices could be considered in some kind of a standard implied consent for information exchange, it would sure make some of our staff life easier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Johnson, that's an excellent point, and I'm sure that the agency is listening, and if not, I will talk to them. But yes, I agree that legislative offices should be on the list of entities to which information should be released. Thank you very much for bringing that up. I don't think it's a long shot at all. I think it's entirely appropriate.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close out work session, open work session SB 483 relating to unlawful use of a global positioning system device. Senator Representative Stark.
Thank you, Co-Chair Debling. Senate Bill 483 creates the crime of unlawful use of a GPS device by knowingly attaching it to a vehicle without the consent of the owner. The crime is classified as a Class A misdemeanor unless the individual has a previous conviction for stalking or is violating a stalking order, in which case it is a Class C felony. The measure is anticipated to have a minimal fiscal impact. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 483 be reported out due pass.
Discussion? Yes.
I have a brief question, and I didn't, maybe it was answered in the bill, but say a parent gives a kid a car and they're 16, and technically they're an adult. Does this cover that so the parent can, is there an exemption so the parent can still do that?
I can maybe cover that.
I can cover that one, too.
It's not actually, there's probably not an exemption in this law, but I do know of parents who give their children cell phones, and they can track the location of their children by where that cell phone is.
Well,
if they
Mr. Chair, if I may, because I brought up this very question, because I am a parent whose children are using a car owned by the parents. If the car is owned by the parents, which I would strongly suggest that any car given to a 16-year-old be done, then the parents can do it because they are the owners of the car. As long as your name is on the title, you can do it. And you can do it without the knowledge of the child.
What about your wife?
Hey, I don't know who said that, but whoever said it shouldn't know.
If your name is on the car.
Yes, the Senator Drawn.
Depends.
But if the title was in the kid's name.
Then you have a problem.
But the other issue that I brought up is actually true, that you can enable a cell phone so you can track I know of parents that have done that. I don't have any children of that age.
I was just going to tell you that the kids know better how to undo it than you know how to do it.
So if you're a parent who's worried enough about this issue, I would encourage you to have your name on the title so that you can do this.
Okay. We may digress here a little bit. Any additional discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session, open work session SB 512 relating to parentage. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 512 establishes parentage based on the presumption that the spouse of a birth mother is a parent to her child. This extends the current marital presumption to include same-sex spouses of birth mothers, provides a basis for providing a basis for parentage for the purposes of child support. The bill also clarifies parentage related to children born as the result of assisted reproduction and updates paternity and parentage language to be gender neutral. The amendment includes adds $52,812 general fund to the Oregon Health Authority for the cost of modifying data systems. The Human Services Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 512 be amended by the dash A4 amendment and be reported up due pass as amended.
Discussion. Senator Johnson.
I'm going to support the motion, but this is just one more thing we're asking OHA to do, and I would like them to focus on their core mission that seems at this moment in some respects unfulfilled.
Mr. Chair, if I may?
Yes.
Thank you. Senator Johnson, your point is well taken. This is actually part of their core mission of vital statistics, which they're responsible for, so it requires them to modify the data fields in the birth certificate, and that's simply the only piece of this that they're going to be involved with. It's mostly around child support, and the DOJ's child support division was the one that brought this legislation forward. Thank you very much.
Any additional discussion? Objections to the motion? Please note Senator Girard. Seeing no others, motion carries. Open that work session, and that leaves us a federal grant application.
No, department. Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry.
689.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm just getting ahead of myself.
I need that.
Close that work session, open work session, SB 689 relating to task force on reentry, employment, and housing. Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you. Senate Bill 689 recreates the 20-member task force on reentry, employment, and housing so that it can continue studying and recommending methods and actions that state and local governments can take to help with reentry into the community for people leaving prison, to expand employment and housing opportunities for people with criminal convictions, and to create certifications for people with criminal convictions. The measure requires the task force to submit a report to the legislature by September 15, 2018, and the task force would sunset on December 31, 2018. The measure is anticipated to have a minimal fiscal impact on the agencies and counties that participate as members on the task force and on the Legislative Assembly and the legislative staff offices supporting the task force. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends Senate Bill 689 be reported out due pass.
Okay, discussion of the motion before the committee. Yes, Senator Roper.
I just want to bring up that anything having to do with housing, they should consider CLT. There are two different kinds of care. One in which Oregon and Oregon State are working together with the architectural school and the other. The other in which we are talking about a new kind of CLT that's being produced in the Ferris Brothers. And they are really important things, and we have opportunities to have showcase facilities in Portland, in Eugene, and other places.
Senate District 17.
That would really like that. And so if they're in the task force having consideration about housing for these people, I would hope they would consider CLT. Thank you.
Okay.
From the Shameless Commerce Division of Park Hospital.
I just want to point out that this task force managed to produce seven bills for this session. And of those seven bills, at this particular point, all seven are headed towards passage and signature because the task force managed to work together with the whole group of folks who were involved, and really good system set up with Senator Winters, Senator Dembro, Representative Parrish, and I were part of the task force, and I'm truly impressed. We came up with ideas and suggestions on how to solve some problems and some questions that we needed to answer more. And that's why we've asked that this task force continue. So I'm really pleased with this particular effort.
Okay. Senator Steinhaven.
Really quickly, I'll just put in one more plug. Senator Frederick pointed out the value of this task force and the legislation it's brought forward, and I think we can all agree that continuing to find opportunities for people who are leaving incarceration and trying to become productive citizens is really important. People have concerns about task forces and that they don't get stuff done or result in tangible results. This task force is a great example. To be honest with you, Senate Bill 397 is a result of a task force that was established out of a bill that we passed in 2013, too, that we tried to pass, and it was one of three bills that came out of that one, two of which passed 2 years ago, and this is the third. So we do see, when we're careful about the task forces, how they're constructed, that we get significantly positive results out of them that make a difference for state government, for the people of the state.
Okay. Any additional discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, motion carries. I will go on to the final item for this meeting, which is a federal grant application request, Department of State Police, Port Security. And before I go to Representative Stark, I will point out that if Senator Roblin wants to chime in again, this is a real stretch. But I do believe that the Spitfire during World War II was laminated, or mostly laminated. So, Representative Stark.
Thank you, Chair Devlin, for your enlightening comments. On June 20th, the Public Safety Subcommittee recommended approval of the submission of a federal application from the Department of State Police to the Federal Emergency Management Agency in the amount of up to $700,000 to purchase an airplane. FEMA has announced the availability of $100 million in port security grant funds. Grants through this program are available to various government agencies, including state governments, and are intended to support activities such as enhancing maritime domain awareness or conducting training and exercises. The state police would use this grant funding to purchase an airplane to replace one of four aircraft in OSP's aircraft program. Aircraft are primarily used for OSP for fish and wildlife surveillance and law enforcement, but the agency supports maritime security plan that includes the Columbia River, Hell's Canyon and Snake River, and the south coast of Florence. Oregon has 9 ports and 4 dams on the Columbia River and 3 dams on the Snake River, all of which are routinely monitored from the air during regular pilot flights. The grant requires 25% cash or in-kind match, which OSP would provide through its existing budget. Grant awards will be announced before October 1st, 2017, and if successful, the agency may return to the legislature to seek additional federal funds expenditure limitation. The Public Safety Subcommittee recommends approval, and if you will permit, I will comment on the question earlier, which is when it came to maintenance, that was not a question that I recall coming up in committee. However, my assumption at that time was because we will be replacing, if we get this grant, purchase a new plane, we'll be replacing a very old plane in the current fleet, which I would imagine requires a significant amount of maintenance right now. So my assumption was maintenance would already be built into their budget.
Senator Johnson.
A couple of comments. $700,000 buys you a whale of an airplane. And my concerns about this are, I'm very supportive of using aviation in these kinds of functions. Make no mistake about that. But I want to make sure that whatever we purchase has a standard airworthiness certificate so that we have some value in resale. For a certain period of time, there was a penchant for public safety organizations to acquire what are called public use aircraft. They run under a different standard of maintenance safety, lesser, and a lesser standard of pilot requirements. They cannot be sold into the civilian market without obtaining, at considerable cost, a certificate of airworthiness. The state bought 2 King Airs some time ago that were ostensibly scrap, and we spent an enormous amount of money bringing one of them up to serviceable condition and then divested ourselves of it. And so I'd like to make sure that we are buying an aircraft with a standard airworthiness certificate, and I think that that is prescribed as policy of the state of Oregon. I also am curious what the pilot qualifications will be. In the past, OSP had a desire to have sworn personnel flying airplanes, and consequently they were taking police and getting them pilot certificate. I'm here to tell you the plane doesn't care that the pilot has a badge and a gun. The plane wants a good pilot. And I want to make sure that we are using existing resources and not spending money on pilot training to replace an airplane in the fleet. So those are my comments.
Okay. And there's no chance we're going to get a British Spitfire out of it.
I doubt it.
Okay. Yes, Representative Wisner.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I endorse Senator Johnson's comments.
However, I wonder, too, if the committee looked into how many drones this could have purchased and operated without a maintenance facility or a smaller maintenance facility. Today's Air Force is in the drone business, too. We need piloted aircraft, too, but I would think that we could buy a lot of drones for that.
Yeah.
Yes, Representative Stark.
Chair Devlin, the subcommittee did not discuss how many drones this could purchase. However, Representative Huffman made sure to not miss an opportunity to speak about drones in the hearing.
Okay. I don't see actually anyone asking for a query from staff or from the state police. Is that correct? Okay.
I would be pleased if state police would follow up later with what kind of plane they're, assuming they're successful in the grant, what kind of plane they're intending to buy and what the pilot qualifications are. But they can do that offline.
They did mention it in the hearing. It was a name that even this non-aviation geek recognized, but that doesn't tell me much, and I can't remember it. So I apologize, Senator.
Partenavia, is that?
What?
Partenavia? Okay, doesn't matter.
Sorry.
Okay.
Any additional discussion of the motion before the committee? Seeing none, any objections to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Please anticipate another Ways and Means Committee before next Friday, or maybe hopefully only one, but there could be even two before next Friday. That concludes our business. We are adjourned.
Okay.